So last week we were in Genesis 25, and by golly, as long as I hit present, I said we were going to skip ahead to Genesis 27 and kind of finish up the, I'm going to finish up what I have to say about Jacob and Esau, but there's Bible has lots more to say there. But Genesis 26, just real quick, you know, Isaac repeats the errors of dad. And God intervenes and in the land, and then everybody sees that God is blessing Isaac, and they come and they make a peace treaty with him. Sound familiar? Well, it should, because we read about that with Abraham. And we're going to go ahead and pick up, and we're going to basically be looking at 27. I've got the little plus symbols there because we're going to start in the at the end of 26, and we're going to grab a couple verses from 28. But really, it's primarily chapter 27, and you can see from the title there, Deception for Blessing. Seven scenes of family dysfunction showcased in the Bible. I know we're seeing the life of David and a lot of that too, but that's the Bible is full of a lot of real stuff. So let's take a look. Genesis 26, I'm going to pick up in verse 34. And it says, when Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri and the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. And they made life bitter. But how could Esau possibly have known that they would make life bitter? It's not like it was super important to dad to not get a wife from the land. Oh, wait. Yeah, we already covered that. It was really important. And so clearly Esau wasn't listening when dad shared his story of how mom came to be and came around, or he just didn't care. But following God, just like Fred already kind of shared a little bit there, it's like work sometimes. And it even was work back then. So, all right, let's take a look at the first scene. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered, here am I. He said, behold, I am old. I don't know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love. And bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Yeah. So, is Isaac on the right track here? He wants to bless his favorite son, his firstborn. And who can remember all the way back to last week? What did God say was going to happen?
The younger shall serve the older, or the older shall serve the younger. That's told back.
Yeah. All right, so God's already declared. But Esau is the hunter. Esau's my favorite. And Esau, go hunt me up some good game. make me my favorite dish, and I'm going to bless you. And he even says that my soul may bless you before I die. And that word soul, it isn't just, you know, I'm gonna give you a blessing. No, it's, man, I love you and I want to bless you with all my heart, with all my desire, and with all my vitality, man. I'm giving it to you, boy, because you are my boy. You hunt me up that good grub, and that other punk kid, he's a mama's boy. Right? And he wants to bless him. Yeah. Did he forget? I think he just didn't care. All right, let's continue. Oh, I was going to say, I didn't think I did anything. Verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die." I'm going to pause there for a second. So yeah, you caught the fact, yep, his son, her son, yeah, great family values. We all got our favorites, so we'll just go ahead and be loud and proud about it. And then notice she goes ahead and she's retelling the story, but what does she throw in there? A little added detail that we don't have in the earlier requote. She's retelling the story to her son.
In the presence of the Lord. Yeah.
In the presence of the Lord. Before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. What's going on there? And she skipped the you know, my soul, and she throws in a in the Lord or before the Lord. You know what's that about? Well, all right, we won't bring up the favorite part, but you know what? Let's add some emphasis. You know what? Before God. Yeah. We'll throw a little bit of emphasis in there. He must have been implying that. So, all right, verse 8. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock. Bring me 2 young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." Okay, so what do you do when mama says, hey, you know, you might have even grabbed his face. Listen to me. Look into my eyes. Obey my voice. Just do it. Okay? Just do it. Yeah. Okay. Obey my voice completely. Verse 11. "But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing.' His mother said to him, 'Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice. Go and bring them to me.' So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved." Okay. But mama, what if I get caught? Well, I mean, isn't that what it's saying? Well, okay, I thought about this, and we're way, way different, right? I don't think this is a good idea, Mom. Now, he doesn't really say that. He just says, what if I get caught? And what, I mean, what's her attitude? Do as I say. Blame me. You know what? It's okay, kid. Even if you get cursed, curse will be on me. It's okay. Just do it. Just do it. Not, hey, God's got this covered. God told me. No, just obey me, and this is what we're going to do. You know what? Come to think of it, all right. So, yeah. What are we going to do? Well, so, verse 15. Then Rebekah took the best garments for Esau, her older son. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the goats she put on his hands, on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hands of her son, Jacob. Just let that sink in for just a minute. Mama says, you know what? Let's get you dressed. Okay, here, wear your brother's robe. Okay, cool. Okay, the goats that I just butchered, I made you some gloves, slip them on, and here's a little something for your neck. Yeah, here's a scarf of the goat that you got from the pen. Wear this. Yeah. They're all in, right? Let's do this. Verse 18. So he went in to his father and said, "My father?" And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn."
"I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you've told me. Now sit up and eat my game so that your soul may bless me."
All right, so he uses the same wording that the dead actually used for Esau. So either he heard, or he heard directly, or he heard somehow, or he got lucky. Yeah, but right, there's the first voice, there's the first test, right? Dad's like, "Wait, who the heck are you?" Well, all right, it's not the right voice, and Dad's not deaf, he's just blind. So evidently they still had that problem back then. Forget, okay. But he's committed. So, verse 20. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Yeah, wow. So the second test, what the heck? How did this happen so fast? Your God granted me success. So, I mean, I don't know if you were, like, listening outside, but I think if I was listening, I might, right, be doing the slide and being worried about that lightning strike. Really? You're gonna invoke God's name and give God credit for your deception? Oh, yeah. It's that sin causes brain damage, and you just, once you're committed and you're stupid, you're just heading down this path. Oof. Yeah, we see that a lot today, just like it was then. All right, verse 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. Okay. You failed the one test. This other answer, you know, you answered kind of, all right, you answered all right, but I'm still questioning. Come here. Verse 22. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." You got to feel a little bit sorry for Esau if, like, right? He's like a goat. Verse 23. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" Jacob answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. So Dad had doubts, but what did he want? He was hungry. And you know what? I can smell it, and it's my favorite dish. So, just two chapters ago, right, we learned about Esau's character, and we saw the descriptions of Esau were physical descriptions, and he was driven by the physical thing in the immediate. And he is Dad's favorite, and yeah, maybe he's mirroring some of the character traits that he even saw in Dad. I wasn't sure, but you know what, dang it all, I'm hungry. And so I can put aside some of my doubts because, blast it, I'm hungry. It's what I asked him to do, and I can smell it. And, yeah, he tested him again, but, right, Jacob was a committed liar. And he goes ahead and he tastes it and, yeah, how is it that it's his favorite dish? Well, gee, it's not like his wife wasn't around and didn't know how to fix the favorite dish.
It's hysterical, though, that goats can be substituted for wild game and she can fix it so it still tastes like wild game and not goats. I think that's cool. I think it's amazing. She's a good cook.
Yep. Got the right seasoning and, yeah.
Esau
couldn't live on that. Yep. Of course, you know, when you're hungry and there's food before you, it tastes good. Alright? Alright. Verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him. All right, so there's one last final test, right? Sniff test. And heck, I don't know whether it was the front of the neck or the back of the neck or where this goat scarf was, but yep, if you're coming near enough to smell them and to kiss them, you're probably touching them. So he finally passed the test. So we're in verse 27. "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Wow. All right. So there's benediction there. There's prediction there, right? Blessing from the earth, blessing from others. Yeah, family's going to serve you. Others are going to serve you. And at the end, right, if anybody messes with you, God's going to mess with them. You know, Tracy.
It's not a good heart-wrenching to him in a way, because what he says to him is, and may your mother's son bow down.
Yeah. Like, you caught that.
It's so sad to me.
Yeah.
He heard him say those words while getting blessed.
Yeah. Bob.
I don't understand what kind of blessing he's expecting to get. I mean, it's not going to be a blessing from God. God ain't blessing this deception. No way.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought. But, man, he said he was going to bless him with all he had in him, with oomph, right? And what does he actually pronounce? He kind of covers it, right? May the earth be prosperous for you. You know, the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth. May people bow down to you. It is interesting to me, too, that in all of this, he doesn't say his name. He says to you. He doesn't say to Esau. May you be, you know, Lord over your brothers. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you.
He's got prosperity, influence, and protection.
Yeah. Yep. And the protection and the, like I listed there, benediction and prediction. Hey, this is what's going to happen. And this isn't even just for him immediately. This is his descendants. This is his family. This is the Abrahamic blessing passed down that was, right, passed down to Isaac. And now he's passing it down to his kid. So, yeah. Wow. Next scene. Again, just really two people. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, man, if we had the music, man, it would definitely, woof. I bet if I would have given Tony my outline, he might have. Okay. All right. So, yeah, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing, and when Jacob scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting trip. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau." "What? What the heck, Dad? Really?" Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Okay, Man, yeah. He'd scarcely gone out. And you notice Esau even said the same thing that Jacob had said. Just in case you'd forgot from seconds ago in this oral account, this narration that's going on. And verse 33, how mad are you when you're so mad that you're violently trembling? Ugh! Right? And it's trembled very violently. What's going on in his mind? They're shocked, but you don't usually shake from shock. He was deceived. And yeah, I the anger, the absolute furious anger.
Didn't he already, I guess I'm a little confused, he already sold his birthright and knew this was coming.
Oh. Hold that thought. Yep. But this is Dad's anger. Right? All right, so verse 33. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me and I ate all before you came? And I have blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father. Your brother came..." I'm sorry, verse 35. But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times." All right, so Jacob. So Esau... Is he not rightly named Jacob? And a lot of us learned, okay, we learned that Jacob was, the meaning of it was heel grabber. Well, I suggested last week that Mom and Dad didn't name him a crummy name of heel grabber and didn't, but his brother certainly thought of it like this, at least now. Yeah, heel grip. Yeah, isn't he rightly named?
So as parents, we have a son named Jacob. Jacob is also surplanter or deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
We actually literally had a discussion about that. Should be your son Jacob? That is another.
That is a... So that... And even the whole definition. Well... Okay, says who? Well, clearly, in the Hebrew there was some clear meaning, and obviously heel has something to do with it. But I'm suggesting that when he was born, it was a nice thing, but his brother went, "Oh yeah, he's no heel guard. He's a heel grabber. He's a creep." And his yeah. That's what it really means. It really means heel grabber.
It's just an observation. You know, you look at Jacob and what he did, with food, what his son did with his son's birthday. So definitely fall far from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's continue. You bet. Let's continue. Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, Behold, I've made him lord over you and all his brothers, and I've given to him for your servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, Have you but one blessing for me, father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. So yeah, I'm not really exaggerating. If anything, I'm not doing it justice enough. I mean, he wept. He's crying out loud. So what's dad do when his big, brave hunter guy is just crying in front of him? All right, verse 39. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Man. Talk about an anti-blessing. Right? He weeps, and he gets this anti-blessing, and it just, okay, well, one day you're going to break the oppression of your brother. Okay. Next scene. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Huh. Yeah, have you heard that before? Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you've done to him. Then I'll send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day? Wow. Okay, so, man, this scene, you've got Rebekah and Isaac. Yep, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him because, he done me wrong. Absolutely. And, okay, Mama says go hide. And notice, Mama even said, because of what you did to him. Oh, yeah, okay, Mama, because you didn't have any part in that. Okay, next scene, verse 46. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, so wife's talking to husband after this bitter betrayal, and he's got to know that there was help, but I guess not. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be to me? What's going on? Right, and Jacob's got to take off. But I don't really want to admit that I had any part of it. So you know what? Sure. Why don't you send Jacob away for a wife? And I'll just, I'll play that angle. And so, yeah, this is going to be your idea, Isaac. I'm going to push you and send him away. Yeah. Again, seven scenes of family dysfunction. Okay. So, chapter 28. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, "You must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojourns that God gave to Abraham." Thus Isaac sent Jacob away. So Isaac calls in Jacob, says, "You know what? Go get a wife." And he blesses him again. Okay. Most of the time we really want to look at Scripture and look at godly examples, right? What the heck? Is anyone commended here? Is anyone really being godly?
Why didn't Isaac give him a time lapse and what did he do?
Great question. Maybe Isaac remembered the way it was supposed to work. I don't know. So, what's the point? And you know what? God's people. What we see here, God's people throughout this story create stress by ignoring his will. God's people often try their own ways to help God out, right? Oh, okay, God, I know what you want, so here, let me sneak in and... And it may even appear to help God out, but with their schemes, people... And yeah, we can shake our head at them, but do we ever? And God's people may bring danger upon themselves trying to help out God. And another thing that we see that really isn't, it's a little unsatisfying, but God's people retain the promise of blessing despite themselves. And that one's a little harder, but even when I taught last week, one of the important questions that I said at the beginning of chapter 25, who decided it to be that way? The older shall serve the younger. Who decided it to be that way? But we just saw seven scenes of God's people acting horrible. And it seemed like it paid off. Of course, now Jacob has to flee. And he doesn't flee for just a couple days. He flees for 20 years. So he goes and hides. Sometimes God still blesses because. So you wonder why we had that silly verse in Romans. You know what? Lots of times, all the time, we want to look at the scripture that we're looking at and look to see what lesson and what is it teaching. But here's one time when we can also look when it gets quoted in the New Testament and see what is it teaching. Okay, so Romans chapter 9. And I went ahead and now I switched to NET, and since you guys don't have it, I put it up there. "For not all those who are descended from Israel are truly Israel." Now, yes, this is in the middle of an argument, but just hold that. "Nor are all the children Abraham's true descendants. Rather, through Isaac will your descendants be counted or called. This means it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but rather the children of promise are counted as descendants. For this is what the promise declared. About a year from now, I will return and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our ancestor Isaac, even before they were born or had done anything, good or bad, so that God's purpose in election would stand, not by works, but by his calling. It was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice with God? Absolutely not. Sometimes election benefits us and then we're really happy. And sometimes we see election in the Bible and we kind of scratch our head going, really, God? Really? But Paul's saying, look, this story was about election, and I am so glad that we have this explanation about election and the fact that we don't have to be descendants of Abraham, but we are the chosen people. So when you think of the story of Jacob and Esau, don't think about all the family crap that went on. Think about before they were even yet born, God chose. And what an example of election. Friend.
But if you take a look at really what God has done, he chose Moses, a murderer. He chose Paul, a persecutor of the church. He chose Peter, who was always sticking his foot in his mouth and even rebuked Christ. And you know what? He chose me.
Amen.
If I was, you know, it says like, not many wise, not many mighty. Hey, excuse me. I feel, you know what? Sometimes he picked the stupid, the wicked, the immoral, and because that is a sign of that it's not us, it's God's grace. And so
amen.
Pride, I can say, hey, yeah, you know, God, you were sure smart to choose me. Man, look what I've done for your kingdom.
No, yeah. Oh. This.
I screwed up again.
This is the doctrine of election, and this is the part of it to focus on. The fact that, man, God shows off his awesomeness, his mercy, his grace in choosing the likes of us. What a tremendous thing to be thankful for. Heavenly Father, help us to just love your word and love you more as we understand it, and as the Holy Spirit brings this understanding to our mind, and we see this all throughout Scripture. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your choice. Amen.